Today's daf is Shabbos daf Memhei. We are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Omar Ula. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refua shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechiel Yosef ben Sarah, Henoch Yisrael ben Esther Necha, Yitzchok Eliyahu ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Yekusiel ben Gittel, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Leah bas Chana. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Mordechai Ziskind ben Meir Alchanan, Meir ben Ze'ev, and Shloime Ze'ev ben Avram Yitzchak. So yesterday, we spoke out a rather lengthy hakdama to the halachos of Muktzah, which was really based on the Beis Yosef's hakdama to Muktzah, the Chafetz Chaim's hakdama to Muktzah in Mishneh Brura, and the Chassam Sofer's hakdama to Muktzah, which he wrote in Tav Kuf Tzadik Tes, several months before he passed away, as his psicha to Mesachtes Beya. So we spoke a little bit about the history of Muktzah. Although the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis that the laws of Muktzah were initiated by Nechemya ben Chachalya in the beginning of Baye Sheni, but the Chassam Sofer says that's only the halachos of Muktzah as they relate to moving an object that's Muktzah. But there's a halacha of Muktzah that states you're also not allowed to eat Muktzah. That, said the Chassam Sofer, is really not a din de Rabbanon. It's a din de Eraisa, or at the very least, Karov de Eraisa. The Makar to that is a Rashi in Masechtes Beya. We mentioned the Balatanya's Ha'ara, who said that it's a Mefurash Gemara, Shabbos Taf Lamed Amid Beis, that you see in the times of David and Shlomo HaMelech, do already laws of Muktzah. So it seemed that the laws of Muktzah evolved over time, beginning with roots in the Torah. From there, in the times of David and Shlomo, you see laws of Muktzah seem to have surfaced. And then the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that talks about Muktzah in the times of Nechemya ben Chachalya. Another thing that we emphasize was that really Muktzah is the flip side of the same coin of Mukhan. Meaning the concept of Muktzah is really based on the idea that if you're going to use something on Shabbos, you have to prepare it for Shabbos. As a result, if something wasn't prepared for Shabbos, it's Muktzah. It's set aside from being able to be used for Shabbos. So Muktzah has a negative connotation, but really the concept of Muktzah is a derivative of something positive. Shabbos is so chashuv, Shabbos is so important that you have to prepare for Shabbos. So much so that if you didn't prepare this item for Shabbos, it's Muktzah. It's now something that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. You take Muktzah, which seems to be the most restrictive thing, but when you understand it on a deeper level, it's actually a beautiful idea. Shabbos is so chashuv, you have to prepare for it. So much so, if you didn't prepare for it, now you can't use it. And that's really what Muktzah represents. We also mentioned that throughout the sugyas of Muktzah, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to what extent the laws of Muktzah were stated. In fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda was Islay Muktzah and Rabbi Shimon was Leslay Muktzah. Simply, it would seem as if Rabbi Shimon didn't hold of the laws of Muktzah. But we mentioned so many times, of course, Rabbi Shimon held of the halachas of Muktzah. It's just in terms of the echos, qualitatively, in terms of the details of Muktzah, Rabbi Yehuda was on one side of the spectrum and Rabbi Shimon was on the other side of the spectrum. So much so that Rabbi Shimon klapi Rabbi Yehuda is almost as if he's less lay Muktzah, because there's such a difference between the two. The topic of today's daf and into tomorrow's daf is going to be trying to understand a little bit better what exactly Reb Shimon's Shita is as it relates to Muktzah. In Reb Yehuda's world, a lot of things are Muktzah. Reb Shimon, it's much more limited. And you have to figure out what Reb Shimon considered Muktzah, what he didn't consider Muktzah, and then the methodology behind it. Why did Reb Shimon pick and choose and say this, yeah, that, not? If there's an idea that you need to prepare for Shabbos, something has to be Mukhan, so then you should have Reb Yehuda Shulchan Aruch of what Muktzah is. Reb Shimon, conceptually, seems to be on board with the idea of Muktzah. But at the same time, the way it manifests in Rav Shimon's world is in a much more limited way. And obviously that's something that's tzarech bir. But just as one final thought, as relates to introduction, and very much segues into today's daf, and that is the Chassam Sofer in his short psicha to the laws of Muktzah, he discusses Rav Shimon's shita a little bit. And again, the Chassam Sofer said that I think this is important for all the maschilin and the laws of Muktzah, because this will be quoting Ke'in Mafteach. So this is a great resource to be able to go back to a cheat sheet, so to speak, as it relates to laws of Muktzah. So he says like this, that even though we know there's a Shitas Reb Shimon in Shas, who's Lesley Muktzah, Avu Mikol Makoim, Loi Nechlag Bozeh Odom Mei Oilom. There's no one in the world that ever disagreed, She Muktzah Me'adas Asu Lecha B'Yem Kodesh. No one ever disagreed that there's such a concept of Muktzah. Ach, Pligi, what was the Machloikis? Begeder HaMuktzah. The Machloikis is the level of the Muktzah. And again, quoting from the Chassam Sofer, Li Reb Shimon, Loi Mikri Muktzah Elo Hudcha B'Yodayim. The only time something is considered Muktzah, according to Reb Shimon, is if you were Doichet B'Yodayim. Meaning, it's not just that it's not prepared for Shabbos, but you physically did something to this item that removed it from usage on Shabbos. You did a maisa in the chayfetz that showed that you don't want to use this chayfetz for Shabbos. You were quote-unquote doichet biyodayin. According to Rab Shimon, that's the only time something is considered muktzah. Ula Rab Yehuda, according to Rab Yehuda, kol shem muktzah midayte, akol avi muktzah. As long as it's something that's not mukhan, that would be enough for it to be considered muktzah. So whereas according to Rab Shimon, you have to do something physically, alav sheyesh bo imaisa, proactively do something to this item in order to make it muktzah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's just the opposite. According to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that's not muchon is memela muktzah, even if you were never doichet biyodayim, says the Chassam Sofer v'gam pligi, and they argue with one other point as well, and that is iam rinon migu de iskatzoi bein hashmoshes iskatzoi lekulo yoyma oiloi neima elakim in destalik hamuktzah stalik. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if something's muktzah bein hashmoshes, even if it's muktzah for whatever the reason is, whichever box you're checking off, the moment that siba of why its muktzah goes away, the item is no longer treated as muktzah. Reb Shimon doesn't hold that. It's always going to be considered muktzah. Reb Shimon doesn't hold that. So again, Reb Yehuda's machmer, where Reb Yehuda holds that if it's kasoy ben ashmashes, it's kasoy lekula yoyma, and that's another thing Reb Shimon disagrees with. So the Chassam Sofer, again, just trying to encapsulate the machloikas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon as an introduction to the sugyas that discuss it, most notably today's daf, says the Chassam Sofer, two fundamental differences between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and the laws of Muktzah. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have to be doichet biyadayim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't. According to Rabbi Shimon, if something is muktzah bein hashmashes, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be muktzah the entire Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept of a migu. Migu des katsoi bein hashmashes is katsoi l'kula yayim. One thing is clear, that Reb Shimon holds a muktzah, as we just said. Another thing is clear, it's something that has no value at all. Something that has no ishtamshas. Something that's never used, like a rock, like dirt. There, of course, it's going to be considered muktzah, even if you never did a maisa with it, biyadayim, to remove it. We're discussing the machlokes Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, something, an item that people sometimes use, whether it's a keli, whether it's a food. So something that people sometimes use, how would that become muktzah? According to Reb Shimon, you have to be doichet biyadayim. According to Reb Yehuda, you don't have to be doichet biyadayim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept of migu des katsoy. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's no concept of migu des katsoy. That's something that inherently has absolutely no value. Everyone would agree, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the halacha would be that it would be considered muktzah. Either way, we're in the middle of a Gemara. The Gemara had mentioned a statement that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. The Gemara had the first version of it. The Gemara rejected it. And the Gemara said, Ela I itmar hochi itmar. So this is the version two of this statement. So we might as well go through it again inside. Am Rav Yehuda Rav, mita sheikha. If you have a bed that was set aside for money, so you're going to use this bed for money. So the halacha is if you put money on it, at that point, you're not allowed to be metaltle it anymore. If you never physically put money on it, even though you designated it for money, then you are going to be allowed to carry it. If you used it for mois, it becomes a keli shemalachta le'isser. A keli shemalachta le'isser is considered muktzah. If you only designated it to be a kelish malachta l'isser, but you never actually used it l'isser, so that Rabbi Yehuda said, I heard from Rav, that wouldn't be a kelish malachta l'isser. Another halacha, lo yichad olamayis. Let's say you have a bed, and you never designated this bed to be used for money, then the halacha is like this. If yesh olamayis, if punked, emphasis on punked, there happens to be money. I mean, this is a bed that you sleep on. It just so happens you left your wallet on it. There's money on it. Dalach is also l'talto. You're not allowed to carry the bed. Ain't allowed mois. If there's no money on it, mutl l'talto, then you will be allowed to carry it. Why, if there's money on it, can you not carry it? It's not a kelish shemalachta l'iser, it's a bet. It's a kelish shemalachta l'heter. You were never miyachid it to be used as money. The reason is because it's a basis l'davar os. And that's another type of mukta. So yesterday we saw mukta machmas iser, mukta machmas mios. Here we just saw another two types of mukta. Kelish shemalachta l'iser, and you have the concept of basis l'davar os. These are all examples of muktas. If there's money on it, it's a basis. If there's no money on it, then it's not a basis. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav added one last line, which is the topic of the first part of the daf, and that is, but for who shall I hayu alav bein hashmashas? The only time this is true, that if there's no money on it, it's not mukta, is if there was no money on it bein hashmashas. But if there was money on it bein hashmashas, even though right now there's no money on it, it's still going to be considered mukta. If there was money on it bein hashmashas, so bein hashmashas, it was a basis l'davar aser. It was mukta bein hashmashas. Once it's mukta bein hashmashas, it's always going to be considered mukta. Why? Migud iskatzoi lebein hashmashas iskatzoi lekula yoima, which at first glance, as we just mentioned several times in the introduction, is shittas Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds very much like Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara on that note asks Akasha, Masif Rabbi Lazar, Amar Ula. Ula said that Masif Rabbi Lazar asked the following question from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Kalim. So how does Kalim meet Mukta? We'll say Mukhni Shalom. So the Mishnah over there was discussing a wagon. And this wagon had a Mukhni. A Mukhni usually means a wheel, although other Rishonim say that in this context, maybe it means a draw, maybe it means something else. But we'll translate it as a wheel. So the halacha is like this. Vizmanchi Nishmetes, if this Mukhni is removable, me, you can take it in and out of the wagon. Ein chibula, it's not considered attached to it. Ve'einim dedesima, it wouldn't be measured with it if you're trying to determine whether or not the wagon has a shear in order for it to be able to be mekabel tuma. Ve'im atzalasima ba'olamais. Additionally, it's not considered part of it as it relates to olamais. In other words, as it relates to different halachos of tuma v'tayir, there's long rashis there that explain what each one of these things mean. But these are mesechtes kelim ideas. These are tuma v'tayir ideas. The halachos that wouldn't be considered attached. Why? Because it's nishmetas. Even though right now it is affixed to it, but to the extent that it's removable, that would make us look at it as being a separate item. Another halacha, and this is negei hilchas Shabbos, ve'ein goyer noisa b'Shabbos. If there's money on top of this mukhni, so the halach is, you're not allowed to drag it on Shabbos. The reason is because we look at the mukhni as a basis l'davar aser. So if there's money on it, the mukhni is going to be a basis, so you won't be able to be metalta. Now it sounds like from the Mishnah, the only time we look at the mukhni as being a basis is if it's nishmetes, if it's removable, it's portable. But if it wouldn't be portable, then you wouldn't look at it as being a basis. What's the difference? It should be a basis, mamanoshach, if there's money on it. So Tosfos asks the kasha, and Tosfos says, the reason is because if it's not portable, then the mukhni is bottled to the wagon. And there's no way to look at a wagon as being a buses to money. The concept of buses is it's somewhat tuffle. This big wagon, your car is not a buses to a cup of coffee that you have sitting in the cup holder in your car. It doesn't make sense. It's too big relative to the cup in order to look at it as a buses. So the mukhni you could look at it as a buses, but the wagon you're never going to look at it as a buses. So if the mukhni is attached, we're not talking about buses. It's where it's detached, where it's removable, it's nishmetes. So then it's small enough for it to be a buses. So then the halach is, if there's money on it, you wouldn't be able to schlep it. What was Rabbi Loza's kasha? It sounds like if there'd be no money on it, right now it'd be mutter. Even if there was money on it, so he said, did Ula, I heard Rabbi Laza ask a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda my Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if you have a mita that's a regular bed, there was money on it, even though now there's no money on it, the halacha is not allowed to be metal to the bed. The reason is because the bed is treated as a basis l'davar aser. What do you mean? It's not a basis, no money on it. Yeah, but it was a basis bein hashmashes. And mikud is katzoy bein hashmashes, it's a problem. So he said, I have a kasha from a Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim is also discussing the halacha of basis, also with money. It wasn't a bed, there was a wheel. A wheel that's nishmetes is treated as a basis. The halacha is if there's no money on it right now, it sounds like
even if there was money on a Bein Hashmashes, you don't look at it as a basis. So we have a stira. Do you say Migudis Katzoy? Or you don't say Migudis Katzoy? Rav Yehuda my Rav can't go Kenegan a Mishnah. The truth is, Rav always could go Kenegan a Mishnah because Rav is Tanu Upolog, but it's always a last resort. So Rav Elazar's kasha was, Rav, you're Kenegan a Mishnah, Mesachtes Kalim. And for Rav, very simple. I hear Rav Shimini, the Lesle Mukta. Now that Mishnah, you're right. It's clear that there's no Migudis Katzoy. But again, the introduction segued right into this. But that's only in Rabbi Yehuda's world. Rabbi Yehuda holds a migud eskatzoy. Rabbi Yehuda was islay mukta. Rabbi Shimon is leslay mukta. So Rabbi Shimon was leslay mukta. He doesn't hold a migud eskatzoy. The Mishnah Masechtas Kalim was going according to Rabbi Shimon. The Rav Rabbi Yehuda's fear late. Whereas Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda. Zok to Gemara. Hakin al mistabru. I'll prove to you the Rav Rabbi Yehuda's fear late. Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda. Shmacker right. I'm a Rav. Rav said, "Ichan erol gabi dekel b'shabbes." You're allowed to put a candle on a tree on Shabbos. So you're lighting candles Friday night. So where did you decide to light your candles? You did something a little unconventional, a little out of the box. You lit it on a tree. So Rav said you're allowed to do it. But the Eimin Ichanera got be dekel b'yontif. But you're not allowed to light a candle on a dekel on Yontif. Now what's the difference? Why Shabbos you could, Yontif you can't? Shabbos is more kuladig than Yontif. So Rashi explains very gishmak. The reason is because you're not allowed to be mishtamish with an Elon on Shabbos or Yontif. You're not allowed to touch an Elon. That's something that you're not allowed to do. The Chum were afraid that if you're going to light a candle on Yontif, on a Dekel, so you may decide you want to move the candle. By moving the candle, you're going to inevitably touch the tree. You're going to be over the Issa the Rabbanon of touching the tree. So Chumim said, "Ein man nichiner agabi Dekel b'yontif." But on Shabbos, they weren't concerned. You know why? Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move a candle. What are you going to move your candle? It's not something you're allowed to do. There's Gzer Shem Yechava, it's Muksa, it's not something you could do. So being that it's not something you could do, so the Chachamim said, what are you worried about? You're going to move it? You never move your Leichter on Shabbos. So you're not going to move it. I'll Gabi Dekel either. You're never going to come to touch a tree that you're not supposed to touch. Sok to Gemara. Yeah, Rabbi Shlomi Rabbi Yehuda Sviru Leib Shlomi, if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shani Ben Shabbos Yontif, then I understand the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Meaning, on Yontif, you're allowed to move a Ner. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to move a Ner. You're never allowed to move a Ner. But if Rav holds like Rav Shimon, Mali Shabbos, Mali Yontif, then on Shabbos also it's possible you may end up moving this Ner. After the Ner extinguishes, at that point you're going to move it. You're not going to say Migu de Iskatsoi. Rav Shimon doesn't hold the Muksa Machmasisr, so at this point you're going to move it. If Rav said this, must be Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. So that's what the Gemara says, that the teretz that the Gemara gave, Hachinami Mistabra, it's beautiful. It stims very nicely with something else that Rav said. But the Gemara says, Rav, Rav Yehuda, Sfirle, is that true? That Rav holds like Rav Yehuda? They asked Rav the following question. This Gemara is a classic and will be the topic of the raid at the end of the daf. They asked Rav the following question. Is a person allowed to move a Chanukah candle on Shabbos? You lit Chanukah candles outside. Mikame Chabari, because of the Chabar. So Rashi and Tosfos over here, and Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Chafala from the base, spoke about the Chabarim. The Chabarim were Persians. They were gangsters. They were really, really bad people. And one of their policies were that if it was their Yontif, they used to light candles for their Avodah Zarah. And they were the only ones that were allowed to light candles on that day. If anybody other than them would light candles, they were in big trouble. They were very, very dangerous people. The Gemara in different places, Gittin Yudzayin, talks about the Chabarim as if they were mamish terrible people. The Gemara says they were much worse than the Romans. They were very, very bad. So what happened was, a person lit Chanukah candles outside, and he's worried about the Chabarim. So they came running to Rav. Are you allowed to carry the Shraga now? Are you allowed to take this candle and bring it inside? Or are you not allowed to bring it inside? Now Rashi said the case that they asked Rav was La'acha Shekava, and it already extinguished. So that was the question. Are you allowed to move it? You're not allowed to move it. Amalusi told him, Shaper Domi, you're allowed to move it. What's the kasha? Why are you allowed to move it? It's Muktzah. So Bishloim if Rav holds like Rav Shimon, it's not Muktzah anymore. Because it was Muktzah, but you don't say Migud Iskatsoi Ben Hashmashes Iskatsoi for the whole Shabbos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're saying now that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's Pshad and Rabbi Yehuda Marav and Mem Dalam and Beis. And that's Pshad and Rav's Memra on the top of Mem Hey Amad Aleph, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, you say Migud Iskatsoi. So why are you allowed to carry it? How did Rav tell them you're allowed to carry the candle? It's Luchur, it's Muksa. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. So the Gemara says, no, Shasat Chak Shahi. There was a Shasat Chak. It was different. Rashi says, what was the Shasat Chak? It was a Sakana. Oh, because it was a Sakana over there, was Mekel. So it's the Gemara, and the truth is, if you know the rest of the story, you know clearly that Rav only was matter this because of the sakarot. Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, LeRav Hachi Hilchasa. Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, they were talmidim. They said it. They asked Rav, "Is this really the halacha? You hold like Rav Shimon?" Amalei said, "No." Kedayu Rav Shimon, lismay chalav b'shas adchak. The immortal words. He says, "No, I hold like Rav Yehuda. I hold mukta. I hold migudis katzoy." But kedayu Rav Shimon and b'diyevin in a situation where there's a sakana, with a situation where there's a shas adchak, I think there we could be soymich on Rav Shimon. The obvious question is, if this was a real sakana, why do you have to come on to Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas adchak? It's a question of pekuach nefesh. If it's pekuach nefesh v'chayi ben v'lo yishiyam esmen, then of course the right thing to do would be to be metaltlitz again. That will be the topic of the raid. Zok to gemar. Boy, minei reshalk shem abyechem. Reshalk shem abyechem a question. Chitin shezorim b'karka. If somebody has chitin, wheat, and he planted them in the ground, upeitz him shetach tarnagoyles. When you have an egg, it's underneath a tarnagoyles. Mal. What's the halacha? Meaning, according to Reb Shimon, who's quote-unquote lesley muktza, but we know, of course, he holds a muktza, he's just lesley muktza. He's a big mekel muktza. Would these things be muktza according to Reb Shimon, or would these things not be muktza according to Reb Shimon? Now, to be clear, the chitin that was zarim bekarka, obviously, weren't zereya. It can't literally be in the ground. Because if it's in the ground where it's taken root already, then removing it from the ground would involve the malacha of koitzer. So we're talking about where removing it from the ground won't involve a malacha, but the question is it muktza? Or is it not muktzah? So you put chitin in the ground. You put a beitza underneath the tarnagos. That was the question. What's the hesber in the question? So Reish Lakish explained, ki lesa the Reb Shimon muktzah. Maybe when does Reb Shimon not hold a muktzah? Hechad lo dachi b'yadai. That's only if you didn't do something physical to it to push it away. But hechad lo dachi b'yadai, this is like muktzah. But maybe if you were doichet b'yadayim, maybe over there it would be muktzah. And over here you were doichet b'yadayim. You took the chitin, you put it in the ground. You took the egg, and instead of making egg salad with it, you put it underneath the tarnagoyles. So here you would doich these things biyadayim. So it's not just not muchon. You actually did something to it to be doiched. And this was Reish Lakish's question that he asked Rabbi Yechid. And we spoke about this in the introduction. We gave it away. But this was the question. This was Reish Lakish's shiloh that he asked Rabbi Yechid. He said, "Oydum alay shlam, maybe there's no difference." I'm going to say, he told him, "Ein muktzal Reb Shimon, elo shemen shebiner b'shoshu doilik." So Rabbi Yechid gave him a very cryptic answer. He said, the only time Reb Shimon holds a muktzah, Reb Shimon is less lay muktzah. There's only one time he holds a muktzah. When is there muktzah? If you have a candle that's burning on Shabbos, that's muktzah. And you know why it's muktzah? He said, for two reasons. Number one, hayo b'huktzah l'mitzvah, because this candle was designated now for a mitzvah. So being that you were miyachid for a mitzvah, which mitzvah? Neir Shabbos. So being that you were miyachid for a mitzvah, you have no right to just go ahead and frivolously start carrying it around. There's something called huktzah l'mitzvah. So this is the fifth type of muktzah that we've been introduced to. Additionally, it's there, that's the right gersa, hukta li'isurai. It's also hukta li'isurai. Carrying the ner would involve an iser. Shem Yechaba, like Rashi said in the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So over there you have two reasons why you shouldn't be able to carry the Ner Doilig, and it's when you have the two reasons that Reb Shimon holds a muktzah. But any other case that you're going to come up with a muktzah, Reb Shimon's not going to hold a muktzah. But the Gemara says, one second, but let's do one thing at a time. It sounds like for Reb Yochanan, the only time you say muktzah is if it's A, huktzah l'mitzvasai, and B, it's huktzah l'isurai. Let's say it would only be huktzah l'mitzvasai. Sounds like Reb Shimon wouldn't hold a muktzah. Ner Doilek has two reyeses, two problems with it. Two boxes of muktzah checks off. It's huktzah l'mitzvasai, yeah, I meet that criteria. Huktzah l'isurai, I could check that box as well. Two boxes, that's when Reb Shimon holds a muktzah. Let's say it's something that's only huktzah l'mitzvasai. There's no isur involved. All it is a question of, I designated something for a mitzvah, and now I want to use it on Shabbos. What would be the halacha over there? Sounds like Reb Shimon wouldn't hold it at muktzah. But the Gemara says, is that true? But lastly, huktzah l'mitzvah, v'tanya v'lint to the braisa. If somebody had a proper sukkah, and then he made noise sukkah. What was his noise sukkah? The itna, vitra, bikram, and besadidim et suyar. He started hanging up different curtains. Vitalabai, goys, and he hung nuts, afarsik, and peaches, shkedim, remoinim, afarchle, shalanov, and grapes, atari, shal, shibaylim. He has wheat hanging from his sukkah. Yeno, shmanim, slosois. Bekitzer, he has a whole slew of food hanging from his schach. So the halach is, during Yontif, he gets hungry. So he says, what, I have to go inside to the refrigerator? I have my pomegranates hanging from the ceiling. So the halach is also a stopping, man. You're not allowed to take. And mitzvah Yontif Achrin. It's considered huktzah l'mitzvasai. I mean that it's considered huktzah l'mitzvasai. The halach is, you're not allowed to take it the entire Yontif. Now the truth is, we're not going to go into this, but if you think about it for a second, this is a very big chiddush. Because you're not allowed to take it until the last day Yontif. What does that mean? You can't even take in a Chol HaMoed. Why can't you take in a Chol HaMoed? Who ever heard of Muktzah on Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed, you can do anything. I mean, not really, but a lot of people do, but it's complicated what you can and cannot do. But for sure, there's no halacha mukta, right? There's no issa malacha on chalamay. So if there's no issa malacha chalamay, there's definitely no issa mukta on chalamay. So if there's no issa chalamay, what do you mean asal estapik behen mad meitzah yantav acher? Why can't I take an chalamay? So it's clear from here and from other sugyas that hukta la mitzvah is very different than the regular halacha mukta. The regular halacha mukta, whether it's mukta machmas miras, machmas iser, basul davarasa, machmas gufay, kelish malachta ilisa, machmas chsaran kis, you name it. The classic mukta is a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yontif. It's one of the laws of Shabbos and Yontif. It was gzeira mishum mitzvah, etc., etc. It's the denachana for Shabbos. That's what that mukta is. If it's not Muchen for Shabbos, Talachis, I'm not allowed to use it. This Huktzel Mitzvah is something else. Once I designate something for a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to use it for anything else. It doesn't matter if it's Shabbos, it doesn't matter if it's Yontif, it doesn't matter if it's Cholamay. If something is Huktzel Mitzvah, I'm not allowed to use it at all. The point is that being that the Noi Sukkah was Huktzel Mitzvah, so Eim Estapkin Mehen, and Meitzah Yontif Achim, until the end of Yontif. But up until then, you're not allowed. Im Hisnalem, let's say you made it tonight. When you hung it up, you said, I'm only putting it here if I'm not going to be hungry. If I'm going to be hungry, I'm going to take it. Hakolafit tonight, then the Allah is it's going to be Mutter. Now, the Gemara's Kasha is, you have a Braisa, the Braisa is talking about Huktzel Mitzvah. And it sounds like Rib Shimon agrees then with Huktzel L'mitzvasai. So if that's the case, how could Rabbi Yochanan have told Reish Lakish that the only time Rabbi Shimon holds a muksa is Ner Doylik? You know why? Because it checks off two boxes in the world of muksa. It's Huktzel L'mitzvasai and it's Huktzel Machmas Isser. It sounds like if it would only be Huktzel L'mitzvasai, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't hold a muksa. I have a Mufurish of Raisa that there's something called Huktzel L'mitzvasai. There's no Isser over there in that case, right? There's no Huktzel Machmas Isser. How do you know? Because the Raisa is talking about Cholomayt. On Yontif, maybe there would be a problem, maybe. But on Cholamay, for sure, there's no. And as a result, there's no Muktzah Machmas Issa there. The only issue you have is the fact that it's Huktzah L'mitzvah. That's the only Muktzah that would even relate to Cholamay. And you see that only Huktzah L'mitzvah would be enough. So it's a Kasha. You see, even Huktzah L'mitzvah is enough. But the Gemara says, what kind of Kasha is that? Umamayde Reb Shimon. Who said it's Reb Shimon? Didn't say anything about Reb Shimon. It's a Braisa. Since when is that Braisa Reb Shimon? Reb Yochanan said Reb Shimon, who we know is less like Muktzah. The only time he holds a muktzah is if you have two things. You have a merger between huktzah l'mitzvasa and huktzah l'yisura. Otherwise not. You ask a kasha from a braisa that there's someone in the world that holds huktzah l'mitzvasa. Who said as an Reb Shimon? But the Gemara says, no. The Tani Reb Chir Bayayitz Kamei Rebbe. Because the truth is, there's another braisa. And it sounds almost like, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that the kasha now is shifting. It's not going to be from the first braisa, it's going to be from the second braisa. So much so, Rashi struggles a little bit to understand why the Gemara even brought the first braisa. You're bringing a braisa, ask a kasha from Reb Shimon, all the Gemara did was say, who said it's Reb Shimon? The Gemara says, I hear, you're right. I meant the other braisa, so why did we even mention the first braisa? I ain't Rashi. But the Gemara says, there's another braisa. And that braisa states as follows. You're not allowed to take wood from a sukkah on yontif. Now, we're not talking about Sukkot now. We're talking about Pesach or Shavuos. Any Yontif, we'll see. Elamen HaSamachla. So if you want to remove wood from a Sukkah on Yontif, because you need wood, that for sure you can't do. That's Soyser. Even if you had a Sukkah, as in a hut, a little bit of wood fell off that Sukkah, you want to use it on Yontif, that's also something you're not allowed to do. If there was wood Samach to the hut, that you're allowed to use. Rav Shimon Mater. Rav Shimon says it's Mutter. Rav Shimon says if wood fell off the Sukkah middle of Yontif, no worries. You're allowed to use it. In the beginning of Yontif, it was a problem. Why was it a problem beginning of Yontif? Because it was attached. So to you to have used it would involve soyser. It's muksa machmas iser. That's something you wouldn't have been able to do. But there's a Reb Shimon l'shitasai. Shimon doesn't hold him. Migu diskatsai. So that's what Reb Shimon says. In this case, it'll be mutav. But b'shavin, Reb Shimon agrees. B'sukkas hachag. Bichag, Shehi Asura, that if it's not Pesach HaShavuos, but rather it's Sukkos, and you want to take a piece of wood from your Egan Sukkah, that's a problem. You know why that's a problem? Why? It fell off by itself. Rav Shimon doesn't hold a migu diskatsoi. Yeah, but this is Muktzah L'mitzvasoi. I mean that it's Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah, this Rav Shimon agrees with. Now, if you make a Tanai, then the Tanai is always going to be good. But what do you see from here? You see clearly that Rav Shimon holds a Muktzah L'mitzvasoi, even when there's no Muktzah Machmas Isser, because again, this is talking about the whole sukkahs, and whole sukkahs includes cholamay. By cholamay, there is no huktzel yisurah, so it must be huktzel mitzvah is the reason that this is a problem. And Rabbi Yochanan knew this because who was the one that said this braisa? Tani Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So what's going on here? Here, Rabbi Yochanan said the only time Rabbi Shimon holds a muktzah is if it's a ner dalik b'shabbos. Why ner dalik b'shabbos? Because it can check off two boxes: a muktzah, huktzel mitzvah, and it's huktzel yisurah. And here, Rabbi Yochanan was aware of a braisa where Rabbi Shimon had a problem with somebody taking a little bit of wood or a little bit of schach that fell off a sukkah on sukkahs, even on cholamay, because it's hooked on the mitzvah. Even though Rav Shimon doesn't hold a migudis katzoy, but it's hooked on the mitzvah. So you see, hooked on the mitzvah is enough. So the Gemara is so compelled by this question that the Gemara says that you have to go back and edit a little bit what Rabbi Yochanan told Rish Lakish. Meaning, we had a question that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. He wanted to know, if someone takes chitin and he puts it in the ground, he takes a beitz, he puts it under the tarnagoylas, you would doicha it piyadai. Does Rabbi Shimon hold a muktzah not? And Rabbi Yochanan told him the only time Rabbi Shimon holds of muktzah is if it's hooked to the mitzvah and it's hooked to the yisuri. And what was the example? A ner doylik, which checks off both boxes. We have to change it. What he really told him was, ke'en shem and shebener. He didn't mean only a ner, he meant something similar to a shem and shebener. Meaning, hoyel v'hooked to the mitzvah, as long as it's hooked to the mitzvah, and here we take out the vav. Not v'hooked to the yisuri. Once it's hooked to the mitzvah, then it's already mukta. It's hooked to the yisuri, now it's aser. Not, it's mukta machmas mitzvah and machmas aser. Once it's hooked to the mitzvah, say, that alone is enough. Notice, because Rav Shimon holds of hooked to the mitzvah, say, as was evident from Rav Shimon's halacha related to the halachas of Sukkah. But the bottom line is, Rav Yochanan now is coming out that Rav Shimon holds of hooked to the mitzvah, say, alone. Rav Yochanan, Rav Chibar Abba said this in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, ein muktzal Rav Shimon, elu ke'ein shemen shebiner. Not shemen shebiner, but rather ke'ein shemen shebiner. B'shoshu doy l'koyev hooked to the mitzvah, say, and not v'hooked to the yisurai. As long as it's hooked to the mitzvah, say, that's enough. That makes it hooked to the yisurai. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmo, ein muktzal Rav Shimon, elu groigris v'tzemukim b'vatz. This is one of the most famous and well-known lines in the sugya of mukta. So Rabbi Yochanan said, the only time Rabbi Shimon holds a mukta is huktzel in mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul said something else. Ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon, ela groigris v'tzimukim b'vatz. So what's unique about groigris v'tzimukim? So groigris are dried figs, and tzimukim are dry grapes, also known as raisins. So groigris and tzimukim would be the example where, according to Rabbi Shimon, there would be mukta. Now, what's unique about this is twofold. If a person has figs, a person has grapes, and he wants to dry them now, so as they dry, they're going to become enei roi l'achila. Being that they're going to become enei roi l'achila, so from a mukta standpoint, they're almost like a rock in heaven. They're not roi l'achila. That's number one. Number two, how do figs become enei roi l'achila? Meaning, what makes a fig a groigris? What makes anovim tzimukim? You do it. When you do it, you're being doichet biyadayim. Being that you're being doichet biyadayim, it's over there where you meet two criteria, said Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. We are A, you were doichet biyadayim, and B, in the beginning of Shabbos, it was in a state where it was not roi l'achila. Even if that situation changed sometime over the course of Shabbos, the halach is Rav Shimon's going to hold its muksa. So, ein muktzal Rav Shimon, ela groigris v'tzimukim b'vat. Umidi achrini loy, faith, is that true? Nothing else. But Tanya, we learned to the Bais, hoya, eichel b'teinim, if somebody was eating te'enim, v'hoyser, and he had some leftover te'enim, the hell on the gag, and he decided that he's going to bring it up to his roof. Lassus, ma'am, groigris. To make groigris out of it. Banovim, if he's in the middle of eating anovim, he was eating grapes. For so he had some leftovers. For the guy, again, he brought it to his roof. Last spent some to make raisins. Talach is lo yoichal. Don't eat it. Actually, yes, meaning it's muktzah. The assumption is that if Shabbos comes, you did this before Shabbos. But when Shabbos comes, you're not going to be able to eat it. Why? Because you were doichet biyadayim. It's not roi l'achila now. Even if something changes, it doesn't matter. Unless you were making it at that point, you're not going to be able to eat it. But here's the punchline. Continues the braiso. V'cheinata oim about farsikin. The same is true for peaches. V'chavushim. Other peiros. U'b'shar kol minei peiros. It's not only true for groigris and tzimukim. It's true for all fruit. Again, what's unique about groigris and tzimukim? While they're transitioning, they're not roi l'achila. These other fruit are roi l'achila while they're transitioning. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's the Tana of this Brice? Ilim Rabbi Yehuda. Is it Rabbi Yehuda? I need Rabbi Yehuda to tell me this halacha. Without this statement, I wouldn't know this about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is so machmer mukta. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to be making something in order for it to not be considered mukta. You don't have to be doichet biyadayim for it to be considered mukta. So Madach Rabbi Yehuda has all the other cases of mukta where you aren't doichet biyadayim. And certainly if you were doichet biyadayim, it should be considered mukta. Must be it's going according to Rav Shimon. And you see that although argues the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Mishmul got it almost right, but not 100% right. Meaning you see Rav Shimon holds of a concept of muksa when you doichet biyadayim. But Rav Yehuda Mishmul limited it to groigris v'tzimukim. You see, it's not limited to groigris v'tzimukim. You see, it's true for all peiros as well. Zok the Gemara, no. Lo'olam Rav Yehuda. I'll tell you really, this price is going according to Rav Yehuda, because according to Rav Shimon, it's only groigris v'tzimukim. And this price is not only talking about groigris v'tzimukim, it's talking about shaar peiros as well. But va'ichlet strichalei. So what was the question? Why did Rav Yehuda need this price? So Rav Yehuda is so machmer in the laws of muksa, he needed to tell this to me. Mar says, yeah, there's actually a little bit bit of a chiddush over here. You might have thought, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not muksa. Because all gedat chamina, ich volt gevolt meinin, kivan de ka'achav azol. Being that this person was in the middle of eating this food, meaning he was in the middle of eating the food, then there was some leftovers. So he decided, let me go dry the leftovers. Maybe it doesn't have to be mechin the food again. He was making it once. You know when he was making it? When he sat down to eat it the first time. So maybe that's considered a hachana even for round two. Perhaps like by Yasmana, Kamash Malon, keeping the hell in the gag. No, once you bring it to the roof, Asuchi Aschi Ledaite Minayu, at that point, you have to start all over again. And that's the Chiddush according to Rabbi Yehuda. Boyim Minei Rab Shimon Bar Rebbe, Me Rebbe. Rab Shimon Bar Rebbe asked the following question of Rebbe. His question was, Patsile tomorrow. If somebody has dates, now these are dates that were not ripe yet, and Rashi says the Metzius was they would ripen in the basket, meaning rather than ripen on a tree, you would collect them, put them in a basket, in a sal, and that's where they would become ripe. The question was, according to Rab Shimon, if you have those dates there, are they treated as muktzah? Or are they not treated as muktzah? He wanted to know, are they like groigris v'tzimukim? Or are they not like groigris v'tzimukim? You put them in the basket, they're not chazi l'achila right now, so maybe on some level it should be treated like groigris v'tzimukim or not. That was the question. Amaleisa, he told him back. So again, who asked the question? This is going to be important for the Gemara. Reb Shimon ber Rebbe asked the question of Rebbe. Rebbe, as in Reb Yehuda Nasi, he had a son, Reb Shimon. So Rebbe's son asked his father this question. So he told him back, "Ein muktzah Reb Shimon el groigris v'tzimukim." The only time there's muktzah is by groigris v'tzimukim. Meaning this is not groigris v'tzimukim. Says the Gemara, it sounds a little bit like, and only a little, as we'll see in the Gemara. But the first reaction of the Gemara is it sounds like Rebbe must hold like Reb Shimon. Right? What did Rebbe say? That ein muktzah Reb Shimon el groigris v'tzimukim. What was the question? The question was, Patsile tomorrow, the Rab Shimon Mao, and he answered back, in Rab Shimon's world, this is not muktzah, because it's not Gregor's Fitzimukim. For Eitig Gemara, it sounds like Rebbe holds like Rab Shimon. In other words, Rebbe doesn't hold a muktzah. For Rebbe, less like muktzah, at the time we learned in the Mishnah, Mashke Meshoich, then it's Hamid Barioiz, you're not allowed to be Mashke. An animal, you're not allowed to shecht an animal that's an animal, quote unquote, midbarius, that lives in the midbar, in the wild. But you're allowed to live the ones that live, shecht the ones that live in your house. What's the definition of an animal that's midbarius? What's the definition of an animal that's baisus? Eloi midbarius, what's the example of midbarius? Any animal that leaves Pesach and it comes back, you know, in the winter. That's considered midbarios. Spends a lot of time outside of the house. Baisos, what's an example of baisos? Kol sheyoytzeis v'royis chutzotchum u'bayis v'lonois b'seichatchum. It dreizach outside of the tchum, but it comes home at night. It comes back to sleep. That would be considered baisos. That's what the Tanna Kamma is. Rebbe had a different definition. Eilu beilu baisos. No. What you just mentioned are both baisos. Eilu heim midbarios. What's an example of midbarios? Kol sheyoytzeis be'afar. Ve'enichnoseis li'yishuv. If it never comes into the yishuv, it always remains outside. If it comes home even for the winter, that's already considered baisos. If it never comes home, that's midbarios. Meaning it has to never come home. If it never comes home, that's when the halacha is going to be that it's considered midbarios. Okay. What we have over here is a braisa where Rebbe is opining as to the definition of midbarios and baisos as it relates to the halacha of ein mashkin v'shoichten es ha-midbarios avov mashkin v'shoichten es ha-baisos. So it sounds like Rebbe agrees with the Mishnah. Again, this is a braisa that explained the Mishnah. Rebbe's mentioned in the braisa. Sounds like he agrees with the law of the Mishnah. Sounds like he agrees with this halacha ein mashkin v'shoichten es ha-midbarios. The question is, why not? Why can you shecht an animal that's midbarios? Probably because it's muktzah. The question is, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be considered muktzah. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that the only time something's muktzah is groigris v'tzimukim. Why is this muktzah? This is groigris v'tzimukim? I don't think so. So if not, why would Rebbe even get involved? Elamai, it sounds like. Probably because Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so you have a steer over here. Here, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe and Rebbe are having a conversation about Reb Shimon's muktzah. It sounds like Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. And here, Rebbe's explaining a braisa about Rabbi Yehuda's muktzah. It sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, it's not such a strong question, which is why the Gemara is going to have three terutzim to the kasha. Meaning, here Rebbe's discussing Reb Shimon, here he's discussing Rabbi Yehuda. We're assuming if he's discussing Reb Shimon, he holds like Reb Shimon. If he's discussing Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, we have a steer. The Gemara says a bunch of terutzim. Iba yisema. Maybe you could say, very simple, maybe Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, which is why him and his son Reb Shimon Rebbe were discussing Reb Shimon Shita. The kasha is, a mashkin, the shaykhtin is Hamid Boreas, that's not Reb Shimon, that's only true according to Rebbe Yehuda. It's not true. You're assuming the animal that drezach in the midbar is not Gregor's Vitzimukim. It is Gregor's Vitzimukim. Because what's the definition, what's unique about Gregor's Vitzimukim? You pushed it away. You were doichet biyadayim. You brought your grapes and your figs to the roof to let it dry. Being that you would daichet biyadayim, there Reb Shimon agrees with Allah Muktzah. This is also something you would daichet biyadayim. You're the one who sent it out of the house. You decided it should be in the midbar, not be at home. As a result, it falls into Gregor's Vitzimukim. So it'd be considered Muktzah, even according to Reb Shimon. You could say, L'dvarv Reb Shimon kamalei, V'leilei sphirulei. Maybe really Rebbe holds like Reb Yehuda. It doesn't hold like Reb Shimon. I, Reb Shimon, Rebbe, and Reb Yehuda, and Rebbe were having a conversation about Reb Shimon. Yeah, he was discussing Reb Shimon Shita. You know, talk about Reb Shimon Shita. We don't pass. He didn't pass like Reb Shimon. Doesn't mean he can't handle Reb Shimon. Or you could say the frame the rabbanon kamalu v'lididi lesli muktzakal. Or you could say that Rebbe does hold like Reb Shimon. The second Bryce's shoe is going according to Reb Yehuda. He was arguing with the chachamim as to what the definition of an animal midbarios is according to Reb Yehuda, but not because he holds like Reb Yehuda. Again, this is just a milchemta shel Torah. Shelo Ali b'de Hilchasa. Why can't you say that? Meaning he was talking to the Rabban. According to me, Leslie Muktzah Klal. This is a moot point. This is not Gregor's Fitzimukim would be Muktzah anyways, but Lidit Chubit, according to you, that it's Muktzah. Ideli Mios, at least you should agree with me. The Hechad Yoitzis b'Pesach, Venechnasas b'Revia, the Baisis Nino, at the very least, it should be considered the Rabban and Amrilei Loi Midbarius Nino. We're having an argument of what the definition of Baisis and Midbarius, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Either way, so we're not sure whether Rebbe held like Reb Shimon, held like Reb Yehuda. We have a Braisa where he's talking Reb Shimon dig. We have a Braisa where he's talking Reb Yehuda dig, but either Braisa is not proof as to what his opinion was. Says the Gemara. One final Gemara. Amru Rabbi Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan. Amru. Rabbi Bar Bachana said that I heard from Rabbi Yochanan. He said, quote, Amru. They say. Who's they? The Velt. The Oilon. Rashi says, B'nei HaYeshiva. This is what they say in Yeshiva. That what? Halacha Reb Shimon. That the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So we're not sure what Rebbe held, but Rabbi Chana said, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Faithful, Rabbi Yochanan, how could Rabbi Yochanan really say that? But what we now, who Saba Kiruya? There was a Saba from Kiruya. That's a place. Rami Lassam say Siruya. That's also a place. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kinesh Atarnagoylis, Malatel Tule B'Shabbos. Are you allowed to move a Tarnagoylis nest on Shabbos? Or are you not allowed to move it? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan told him, Klum Asui Elul Tarnagoylim. I mean, it's made for Tarnagoylim. So if it's made for Tarnagoylim, then you shouldn't be able to move it. Why? So Rashi says, because it's a klisha malachta le'isr. If it's made for Tarnagoylim, a Tarnagol, you can't be mishtamish with on Shabbos. So the kina now is a kelisha malachta le'isr, and as a result, it's muksa. Now, who holds of kelisha malachta le'isr? Rabbi Yehuda holds of it. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of it. So the Gemara says, how could Rabbi Yochanan say, they say, that loch is like Rabbi Shimon? You see, Rabbi Yochanan himself said that a kinesh atarnagol is mukta, probably because it's a kelisha malachta le'isr. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of kelisha malachta le'isr. So the Gemara says, hachem mayaskinon, this be efroyach meich. We're talking about a kina that had an efroyach inside of it, but the efroyach was dead. It died. And the case was where it died on Shabbos. And being that it died on Shabbos, even Reb Shimon says Rashi is going to agree that this is Muktzah. So if the animal dies on Shabbos, it's for sure going to be Muktzah. But the Gemara says not everybody agrees with that. Reb Shimon was moideh that if a balchai dies on Shabbos, it's considered Muktzah. Elamar b'rei de Reb Yosef mishmei de Rava. Reb Shimon and Philip balchaim shemesu. That Reb Shimon argued. He held his position of lesley Muktzah even for a balchai that died. Shehei mutar minin des still mutar. So why is this a muktzah? So he told him back, "Hachem mayaskina, but this bait beitza." So talking about where there was an egg inside of it, and being that there was an egg, that's why the kina was muktzah. An egg is muktzah because it's noilad beishan al debiyantif. It's noilad. If the egg is muktzah, then the kina is muktzah. Why? Because then it's a basis, l'davar asar. Reb Shimon holds a basis. So that was the Gemara's answer. But the Gemara says, v'amar Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman said, man, islay muktzah, islay noilad. Reb Yehuda was islay muktzah, he holds of noilad. But the leslay muktzah, leslay noilad. Reb Shimon was leslay muktzah, leslay noilad. So that doesn't work. So the Gemara says, the ismei beitzah sefrayach. It's talking about where there was a beitzah that was an efrayach. There was an egg inside, but the egg had a little chicky inside of it. And a beitzah efrayach, even Reb Shimon agrees it's muktzah. And being that Reb Shimon agrees it's muktzah, so it comes out the kina would then be a basis for that muktzah. It would be a basis ledavar aser exhale. So the Gemara discussed
Shitas Reb Shimon, who's Lesley Muktzah, and the Gemara came out that even though we know Reb Shimon is Lesley Muktzah, but clearly there are examples where Reb Shimon is going to hold a Muktzah. Rebbe said that Reb Shimon holds of Muktzah l'mitzvasa. We had the different comments about Reb Shimon holding of Muktzah, where Gregus v'Tzimukim, things that are similar to Gregus v'Tzimukim, and then at the very end of the daf, we went through this Gemara very quickly, there seemed to be some other scenarios, whether it's Basos l'davar aser, Beitza sefrayach, and a havamin of the Gemara, maybe even Noilad. But the point is, again, even though Reb Shimon is less than Muktzah, Reb Shimon holds a Muktzah, how do you make sense of Reb Shimon? So these are hard Gemaras that you have to go through. We have the, at least the Yesoida, the Chsam Sofer, you have to be Doichit, be a Dayah, we saw that in today's daf. Reb Shimon doesn't hold a Migudis Katzai, that's been one of the themes that have underpinned all the dafin that we've been learning. But just to end with two ha'aris related to a Gemara on the top of Memhei Amid Aleph. So the Gemara said, Bo minei de Rav. They asked Rav the following question. Ma'alita tulei shraga dechanukasa mikame chabari v'shabata. So ma'isa shahaya kachaya. A year on Friday night, right before Shabbos, it was Chanukah. He lit his Chanukah left outside. And now he got scared because the Chaborim are coming. The Chaborim were Persians. These were bad, bad people. They were very, very dangerous people. And the thing that they didn't like was lights. So if you lit a light on their yontif, you were in very big trouble. So you have this, the Hanukkah light is outside and you're scared. So they came and they asked Rav Shaila, in the event that you lit Hanukkah candles Friday night and the candle extinguished already, and the Chaborim, I'm afraid of the Chaborim. Am I allowed to move it, or am I not allowed to move it? So he told him, you're allowed to move it. He said, you're fine. And the Gemara thought that this is a raya that he holds like Reb Shimon. Because according to Reb Yehuda, why let him move it? A candle is, and a leichter, and a menorah is going to be muktzah. Because it was muktzah b'chnisas ha-shabbos, and migudus katzoi ben ha-shmashes, it's going to be muktzah the whole Shabbos. And the Gemara thought this was a proof that maybe Rav held like Reb Shimon. But the Gemara says you have no raya from here, because this was a shas hadchak. Zok Rashi, it was a sakono. And being that this was a sakono, so this was a very unique situation. And being that this was a very unique situation, over here it was different. And the Gemara says, in fact, Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi both reported that they even asked Rav this question. They says, why are you being mad to this? Do you hold like Rav Shimon? He says, no, I don't hold like Rav Shimon, but Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak. Even though I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but this is a shas hadchak because of the sakana. And being that this is a shas hadchak because of the sakana, Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak. Rav Kiva Eger, on this Gemara right here, asks the obvious question. The obvious question is, if these Chaborim were such dangerous people, and Rashi says that it was clearly a sakana to have the Chanukah menorah outside while the Chaborim were coming, then why? What was the question? What was the shaila if you can move it and you cannot move it? If Oid, even Rav's teretz was Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak, meaning he wasn't willing to just be matir it, but he knew there's a mekel in the world of muktzah. Who is the mekel? It's none other than Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak. That's the only reason he was matir. But were it not for the fact that there was a shitas Rav Shimon, and were it not for the fact that there's a principle Kedayu Rav Shimon lismachal b'shas hadchak, Rav would have told the Chevra, I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay the consequences. If the Chaborim are coming, the Chaborim are coming. There's nothing I can do. Frank Rav Kivego, what's going on over here? What happened to the halacha of Pekuach Nefesh? What happened to the halacha of Sofik Pekuach Nefesh? What happened to the halacha if there's any tzad, even a tzad miut, that maybe there's a sakana over here, you machal Shabbos, you do whatever it is you need to do, as long as it's not one of the Gimel Averis Chavmurois, you do whatever needs to be done. L'chayra Muktzah, which is probably a Dinder Rabbanon, what's going on over here? Azay Frank Rav Kivager. So Rav Kivager says, El Al Korch, you have to say there's no other way to learn this Gemara. The Ein Kan Ata Begeder Safik Sakana, Lahata Issa Bishvilzeh. You have to say the Metzias is that there wasn't a real Sakana. If there was a clear and present danger, there's no way in the world we're having this conversation. Of course, the halacha would have been, you do whatever it is you need to do. It wouldn't have been a shayla. But this sakana wasn't a regular sakana. What was it? Says Rav Kivager, El kivan dal tzad harichuk, histafus sakana, mikri shas adchak, v'samchu ad Rav Shimon. Says Rav Kivager, was al tzad harichuk. This was a far-fetched scenario that this person was worried about. Meaning, it's not the pshat the chaborim were coming. You didn't get a memo that they're in town, everybody hide. If that was the memo they got, you take the leichter and you run for your life. That's not what happened. What happened was they suddenly got paranoid. They said, you know, you never know, the chabarim might come.
What are the chances of it coming? It's not very likely. It's al tzad harichok. His staff was a sakana. Sakana may emerge from this. But right now, do you see the sakana? No. I mean, could you put your fingers on it? No. But it might happen. It's a scenario that may play itself out. Being that it was al tzad harichok, says Rav Kiva Eger, this is why it wasn't treated like a regular sakana. And that's why Rav couldn't just say it's Bekoach Nefesh, because it wasn't Bekoach Nefesh. He didn't deem this to be Bekoach Nefesh. And even though it was only Mukta, which is an Issa Rabbanon, the only reason he was willing to go ahead and to be Mekel is because he had a Shitas Rav Shimon, who's anyways Mekel by Mukta, and Kedai Rav Shimon, but it was all based on that he said this. Now, obviously, this gedder of Rav Kiva Eger is Sarach Bir. It's Sarach Bir. So Rabbi Kivega is saying that there's something called Sakonas Nefashis. There's something called Suffix Sakonas Nefashis. For those, you're Mechal Shabbos. Then there's something called, where there's a Sakona, but it's Al Tzad HaRichuk. It's a little far-fetched. He doesn't explain what far-fetched means. Is this a statistics thing? You have to look at the analytics. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's a 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000. So I'll tell you something interesting. This Reb Kivega, not a lot, but often Chedushi Reb Kivegas come from tshuvas. This is actually an excerpt. It's five lines here in Chedushi Reb Kivega on this Gemara. Shabbos Menheim and Aleph. It really comes from a tshuvas Reb Kivega. The tshuvas Reb Kivega is a chelik Aleph. It's Simon Samach. It's a very long tshuva. It's a Hilchas Nida tshuva. It's a complicated tshuva. We spoke about it a little bit when we learned Masechtas Nida. But this tshuvas Reb Kivega, he's talking about a woman who had a issue with Tashmish and doing Bedikas and have Sektaira. There was an element of Sakon over there. So I'm just going to pick up mid-sentence. Elovade says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the ain't Kavanah Sarash, the Ika Sakona Mamish, a Suffolk Sakona. He couldn't have been discussing, whatever the case was, a real Sakona. Elo, the Ika Ka'ev, it's Sartuva. He's dealing with a situation where there's a woman that's in pain, but not a real sakana, not even a suffix sakana. The Efshe says, Reb Kiveger, maybe the sakana is al tzad harichuk, it's far-fetched, achas mini elef, the yitzmach mizah sakana. There's like a 1 in 1,000 chance that maybe a sakana will emerge and develop from what's going on over here. And being that, says Rabbi Kivega, that's not enough for us to look at a sakana. Being that there is a possibility, that's enough for it to be called a lashon sakana. And then Rabbi Kivega says, upirish Rashi sakana. Either way, this is the Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega said it in a tshuva. But in this tshuva, if you look at the context of it, he threw in a number. What was the number? 1 in 1,000. So at least he gives us something that we could put our fingers on. He said it's like a 1 in 1,000 chance that maybe something's going to develop. Echa mini elef is also an expression, right? It's an expression. Echa mini elef. It's right. Elef nichnasu, echad yoitza. It's not a small percentage. It's a very, very small percentage. But al kaponim, this is Reb Kivega. Reb Kivega said that there is an idea that if you know that this action could involve a little bit of sakana, but if it's al tzad harichuk, if it's a little bit too far-fetched, so then the halacha is, you don't have the law that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. And the truth is a very interesting idea, because when it comes to determining what's considered sakana and what's not considered sakana, as it relates to be mechal Shabbos and stop being mevat alachs, how do you know what sakana is? So this Reb Kivega is definitely a maramakim, where Reb Kivega is saying that there's an idea where something involves sakana, but it's al tzad harichuk, that maybe something bad will come from it. That's not enough of a sakana. What came to mind, and this is above my pay grade, but just what came to mind is a well-known tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the tshuva is in Igros Moshe, and it's Chosha Mishpachelik Beis, it's Simen Ayin Vav, and the topic of it is somebody allowed to smoke a cigarette or not. Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva in Tovshin Mem Aleph, Isruchak Shfuas. In 1981, he wrote it to Dr. Meir Rosner. That's the tshuva that's in Igros Moshe. And over there, Rav Moshe deals with a very high-level question, and that is, you find in the Gemara talks about a concept called Shomer Psoim Hashem, and there's many examples of it. Shabbos Kuf Chavtes, Nida Memhei, right? One of the examples is that back in the day, it was considered to be dangerous to do a bris milah on a cloudy day. So the Gemara says, but people do Mila Bismani on a cloudy day. So the Gemara says, you're right, but being that everybody does it, Kivin the Dashu Bei Rabim, Shomer Psoim Hashem. There's a concept that Hashem protects the fools. When? When, it sounds like when there's a lot of fools. Kivun dudashav rabbi. If a lot of people do something, over there, shomer psoim Hashem. There's a shmira, meaning, as if to say, a lot of people are allowed to put themselves into a matzav of sakana. And the reason is because they're protected. Because of shomer psoim Hashem. So Rav Moshe says that, I just don't understand, it's very hard to come up with a good rule, a good klal, something to take home with you, in terms of when we invoke the principle of Shomer Psoim Hashem, and when Faker, when we say, if it's a question of Sakana, this is something that you're not allowed to do. I mean, the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Ritzeh Shmiras HaNefesh, he's very mayrich about how careful a person has to be, not only from a Sakana, even from a Suffolk Sakana, and then you find the concept of Shomer Psoim Hashem. So the truth is, I'm not even going to speak out the tshuva. We've spoken a little bit about it over the years, but it's a very, very hard tshuva. I mean, I revisited it today. It's not an easy klal. I mean, Rav Moshe says, Hine litin klal. He gives a whole rule, and it's not such a simple rule. But either way, Rav Moshe felt that there's some sakonos that are considered real sakona, and there it doesn't matter if the whole world is jumping off a bridge, doesn't give you a right to do that. Of course you don't say Shomer Psoim Hashem, but then there's a concept of a sakona that's a little bit different, and over there you do say Shomer Psoim Hashem. Rav Moshe in 1981 anyways felt that smoking fell into the category of where you say Shomer Psoim Hashem, meaning you can't say that because a person smoked a cigarette, so the next thing you know, he's going to start develop, you know, machlis chalila, etc. Doesn't work that way. It could happen, and statistically maybe he has a better chance of developing certain illness, but at the end of the day, there's no way to create a linkage on such a level that it would fall into the gather of sakana and even suffix sakana. So big chiddush, Rav Moshe said. But rather, he said it falls into the gather of Shomer Psoim Hashem. Either way, so again, keeping this high level, there's an idea of sakana, there's an idea of suffix sakana, but then on the flip side, you have this Reb Kivega, which comes from a tshuvas Reb Kivega, who's saying this in a halachic context, in Chelek Aleph Siman Samach, where he talks about a sakana that's only al tzad harichok. Another thing he talks about is as it relates to the concept of Shomer Psoim Hashem. That's the first Torah. The second Torah is, there's a well-known chiddush from Reb Shloima Kluger. And this chiddush from Reb Shloima Kluger is in the Chachma Shloima. It's in Hilchos Shabbos, and it's in Simen Shin Chavtes. And Reb Shloima Kluger asked Reb Kivega's kash. He asked the same kash. He says, I don't know how to read this Gemara. The Gemara says, they came to Rav and they said the word about the Chabarim. Shloima Kluger says, learn the Gemaras that talk about the Chabarim. They were the Nazis, Yemach Shemam. They would have killed you in a second. So you're going to tell me now you're going to risk. Rav was clarifying, I do hold like Reb Shimon, I don't hold like Reb Shimon. Kedai Reb Shimon, listen, Olech B'Shas Atchak. This is a question of Pekuach Nefesh. So if this is a question of Pekuach Nefesh, so what's going on over here? What was the Havamina Ben? That you're not supposed to think. So Reb Kivega said you have to say it wasn't a real sakana. It was only outside the richuk, whatever that means. But there's a concept of outside the richuk. That's what Reb Kivega said. But Reb Shloima Kluger said, I don't think that's the pshat. Shloima Kluger, it's a long shtickle. You have to see it inside to believe it. He says, I think that this was a real full-fledged sakana. So he says it was a real full-fledged sakana. What was the shiloh? What was Rav not sure about? Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, all the G'dayli Amiram were debating what to do. What do you mean? What's the shiloh? Of course he's supposed to take it in. It's Pekuach Nefesh. So it says Rav Shlomo Kluger, no. He says, no, you know why? He says, because there's another Gemara. A Gemara in Perek Bevem Adlikin, Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Lehanichal Pesach Beis Ami Bechutz. The mitzvah is to leave it outside. Where? Tefach HaSamach Lebeis. U'Beshas HaSakana, if it's a Shas HaSakana, Minichal Shulchan V'day. Then you don't put it outside. If it's a Shas HaSakana, you're supposed to keep it inside. Zok Tehil Gerashi. What does it mean, Shas HaSakana? Shahoy Lehem LeParsian, the Persians had a Chayk V'Yomedam. They had a rule, a decree on their yontif. That the only ones that were allowed to light fires were in their pagan temples. But other than that, no fires. But other than that, you weren't allowed to have any lights. Tosfos says the same shach. Says, Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's a mefurish abraisa. That if you're worried about chabarim, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to light ner Chanukah in your house. You're not supposed to light it outside. If that's the case, this person that lit Ner Chanukah outside, he violated what the Chachamim told him not to do. They said, don't light it outside. Don't put yourself in a matzav of sakana. He went ahead and he put himself in a matzav of sakana. Now, all of a sudden, the Persians are coming. Yeah, of course they're coming. We told you light it on your shulchan. We told you not to light it outside. So now you come running to Rav. Rav, what should I do? I'm in a matzav of Pekuach Nefesh. Says Rav Shloima Kluger, Pekuach Nefesh is doicha everything. but not if you were ma'abid yourself ladas. Not if you put yourself in a situation where now all of a sudden we have to bail you out. Now pekuach nefesh is not doich anymore. And now, even though Rav knew the principle, he knew the halacha pekuach nefesh being doich, but he said, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. Because who asked you to do this? You should have learned the Gemara. Everyone knows. Why are you the only? Look at all your neighbors. They don't have the Hanukkah menorah outside. Everyone lit it on their shulchan. Oh, you wanted to be brave? No, I'm going to brave this. I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. Now we're not going to help you. Rav said, but you know what? You're lucky. You're lucky there's a Rav Shimon, who's less like Muktzah, and Kedai Rav Shimon, Lismachal of Mishas Atchak. And he said, because of that, he was willing to bail him out. But other than that, the halacha was, he wasn't comfortable in doing that. Truth is, this is Rav Shlomo Kluge's Chiddush. He says it in Siman Shin Chav Tes. There's a Michas Chinuch who says a very similar Chiddush, stating that there's a tshuva for Ramosha. Ramosha has a tshuva in Erechaim Chelek Aleph. This is one of the earliest tshuvas in Igros Moshe. He wrote this tshuva from Luban. This was written not Isru Chag Shavuos, like the last one. It was written like Ba'omer. Tuf Reish Pei Zayin, Me'inyin Le'inyin Ba'isa Inyin. It was written Tuf Reish Pei Zayin in Luban. So this is an old tshuva. And over there he discussed, the name of the tshuva is Be'inyin Pekuach Nefesh Shehevi Al Atzmai Bepshia. In Doicha Shabbos. And he says, the halacha is it is Doicha Shabbos from Moshe. Even though there's a mashmois from Magen Avram, not that way. We just mentioned this from Shlomo Kluger, but Moshe fought back with the Shoyal and he said, there's no way there's such a halacha. Again, there is mashmois, maybe that there is such a halacha. But Moshe in a tshuva wasn't masking to it. And you know what his raya was? His raya was the Tashbitz. His raya was the Baal Amar. The gift that keeps on giving. The Baal Amar that said in the end of the first parak that Eima Fliga Besfini, you're not allowed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. Why can't you go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos? Because we're afraid that maybe it's Erev Shabbos. And then you're Achroi on Shabbos. What happens if there's going to be a question of Pekuach Nefesh? You're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. And if you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you created a situation where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos. The Tashbitz with Mila Shalei Bezmani on a Thursday. Said Ramosha, I don't understand this Baal Amar. The Baal Amar said that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. Not true. You're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for this person. Who asked you to go on a boat? You put yourself in a situation where we have to be Mechal Shabbos for you. We're not bailing you out. For the fact that the Baal Amar said, Ema Fliga Besfina, why? Because you're going to cause a Chil Shabbos, said Ramosh, as a raya, you could be Mechal Shabbos. Because if you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a person who puts himself in this situation, you know what the Baal Amar should have said? It's a subtlety. But you know what the Baal Amar should have said? You can't do it because you may put yourself in a matzah of Sankana. We won't be able to save you. That's what he should have said. But he didn't say that. He said, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. So you say, Meris, you could be Mechal Shabbos. So Rav Moshe said that even though this is a very big Chiddush, you can't regardless. So this is a Muktzah Daf. But tucked away in this Muktzah Daf, we have a two very important Yesoides, Ma'od Nachutz, as it relates to these halachos, the halachos of Bekuach Nefesh and Sakonas Nefashas, how far to take it. Number one, we have Reb Kiveger's Yesoid that he says right here in his Chiddush HaMalashas. It really comes from a tshuva in Yerodea Simen Samach, where he says that even though Sakon and Mechal Shabbos, Sofik Sakonu Yimachal Shabbos, but if it's Altsad Arichuk, whatever that means, he throws out a number, 1 in 1,000. It's probably a guzmo, so you have to know what the number really is. But if it's Altsad Arichuk, then over there you don't have this halacha. Additionally, we have Rav Shlomo Kluger's epic yisoid, and that is if a person is a poishaya, he's negligent, and he puts himself in a situation where now we have to bail him out. We don't bail him out, and that's why Rav had to come on to a Kedai Rav Shimon Lismachal of Bishas Atchak in our sugya.